Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
The MLB Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia. From boosted parlays to in-game odds on every major sport, WynnBET is what you need to win. Sign up today to receive a $500 risk-free sports bet. Download the WynnBET app now or visit wynnbet.com and start winning today. We're brought to you by PropSwap, America's number one app to buy and sell sports bets. Use promo code SGP on your first deposit and receive up to $500 in bonus cash. That's propswap.com, promo code SGP. We're also brought to you by PicksWise. PicksWise is the number one app for free sports betting picks, props and parlays. Download the free PicksWise app now to make your next bet better. Also brought to you by OddsCrowd. Are you the best football bettor in the US? OddsCrowd challenges you to prove it with their free-to-play fantasy betting contests. Over $30,000 up for grabs over the season. Go to oddscrowd.com to sign up. Welcome, everybody, to the MLB Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. My name is Malcolm Bamford in Newcastle, England, here to talk about MLB as we head towards the playoffs. At an alarming rate. It's really creeping up now. Tensions are rising. We're getting some real playoff feel about some games. And joining me this morning, we've got all sorts of new things going on. I don't like change generally, but this time it's the same person, but he's not in Houston, Texas. He's in Las Vegas, Nevada. I don't know how many miles away that is, Moonaf. Good morning. I think it looks like it's sunny out your window. Have you just woken up?
Yeah. Good morning for me. Now we're what 8 hours apart now, are we? I know it's usually six when I'm in Houston, so I'm on the West Coast. I'm in Vegas. The SGP crew is getting together. I know everybody's doing their own thing and it has stuff going on. And, you know, Sean and Ryan have been recording out of that beautiful, beautiful studio over at the Win with the Blue Wire podcast studios. I was talking to Dan last night and I said, you know, I got in last night. I caught the tail end of the first football game and I recorded a podcast with him after. So the work doesn't stop right now. Hopefully we get into, I get into more fun stuff over the weekend, but just out here continuing to grind and still cashing baseball bets. I think that for me, at least the plays that I put on Twitter have been cashing, but exciting times, like you mentioned, football, baseball playoffs creeping up. It's a great time to be alive, you can say.
Yeah, absolutely. I was expecting to be a partially broken man today, Moonaf, already after 12 hours or whatever in Vegas. The other thing I'm gravely disappointed about is, why aren't you in that flashy studio? I've logged on here. Is that your hotel room? I mean, I'm in bed as well. Like you said the other day about, I seem to be in a different room every time we record. So I took up your challenge. I've moved into the bedroom. Look, there we go. I'm in bed.
There we go.
So we're sitting here like Bert and Ernie for some reason. And where's the fancy studios? Do you not have enough clout, Moonaf?
I don't. I'm not at the level of Sean and Ryan to be in that wonderful studio. But I may have to ask them to kind of take me in there just to check it out. It looks really, really looked really nice when they were recording their podcast for college football and NFL. So I know I might have to talk to the bosses to try to get me in there and just to check it out. Maybe not record yet, but just to check it out.
Yeah, it does look great. All the content over the last 48, 72 hours that the boys have put out, the pre-game stuff for the Bucks and Cowboys last night and everything else has all been absolutely outstanding. One of my favorite times of the week is to put on the NFL Picks podcast. And I was driving about that. I just had it on this morning with a little pen driver. I've got my pen in my hand, scribbling things down on my leg. The kids always ask why I came in from work with Donald Parham written on my leg. That sort of stuff. So I've got a few choice things came written on my leg today. I took a player prop on Pitts, a player prop on, somebody else now, I can't remember, in Tennessee are going to be my lock of the week. But yeah, it was a great first game last night. It was exciting, went all the way down to the wire. I think the Cowboys exceeded expectations. They actually played really well. I think the SGP, the picks were maybe fading Prescott a little bit due to the lack of reps, but actually Prescott looked really sharp all the way throughout. And I think the Cowboys were probably a bit unlucky, Mooner.
Yeah, they were. I mean, unfortunately, I didn't get to catch the entire game. I was flying in during the first. Well, I caught the first half on the plane, missed the third quarter. There were some, you know, I think Tampa Bay had almost 4 to 5 turnovers. I know Brady threw 2 interceptions, and there's a fumble by Chris Godwin, near that goal line towards the end of in the fourth quarter. But yeah, like you said, you got to give a lot of credit to the Dallas Cowboys the way they looked last night. Dak looked really good. I think the secondary for the Bucs might be an issue going forward, but I think that's just because the skill position, at least the wide receiver positions for the Cowboys, look really good. So maybe just first game out of the gate was down to the wire, like you said, a great game to start the week. And hopefully that continues into the weekend. And we also have EPL back this weekend for you also, don't we?
That's going to be fun tomorrow. So yeah, it's Manchester United versus Newcastle United tomorrow, Saturday afternoon, 3 o'clock kickoff. Yeah, so there was a little bit of talk in the week that Ronaldo might have to quarantine because obviously it's been international week this week. So they had a couple of games. I think they were at home, Portugal, most of the time.
Yeah,
but obviously he's had to travel and had to come back. So I don't know if there's any restrictions. But alas, he is allowed to play. Solskjaer announced today. So, and to be honest, it makes no difference. It might make it 5-0 instead of 4-0. I mean, it's really not changing anything. So yeah, you can giggle away, but I'm so over it, Moonaf. I just cannot tell you. Like, I might start supporting the Seattle Sounders or somebody. I might just go 6,000 miles away your direction, because we are so far in timeout. It's unbelievable. So
what's going to happen if Newcastle pulls the upset?
Moonaf, there is absolutely no chance. I will do the next podcast. I'll wear a Liverpool shirt. I'll do it naked. I'll do whatever you want, Moonaf. I do not care. There is not going to... I'll send all the listeners a Newcastle shirt with whoever scores the winner on it. There is no way we win that game tomorrow. Absolutely no way.
Oh, God. We'll see what happens. But yeah, EPL is back. But, you know, we have baseball that's been going along here. We'll get into some of the underdog stuff, guys. I think I put it on our show notes. I don't know if you saw it or not, but these underdogs are starting to cash in a little bit. I think we had a decent week this week with our picks, no?
Yeah, we've got to come to the underdogs in a little while. I was going to build up to that because that's one of the great successes that the Consig put us onto a couple of weeks ago. Yeah. So we ended up with one void pick. Due to a pitching change, we've run into a lot of those recently. So we went 3-for-2 on the others. And that's a three-dog sweep, Moonaf. Got to be happy with that. So if we take them, we go through the locks first, then we'll get them out of the way before then we can trumpet our three-dog sweep. So mine was the pitching change. Mm-hmm. I took John Means for Baltimore, who got pushed back to Thursday. As it happens, he didn't pitch very well yesterday. So I probably dodged a bullet. And Matt Harvey replaced him on Wednesday, so that was a no-go. Scott took the Padres run line against the Angels. You said there's a lot of stuff being on the Slack channel about the Angels this week. So what's been going on over there?
I failed to realize that this was Scott's lock when we were talking about it on Tuesday night. And one of the guys had posted that the Padres and Blake Snell were, I think they were north of -330 on the money line. And I said, well, God, man, you almost kind of at that price for Blake. So, I mean, as great as his recent form he's been in, you might want to take a look at taking the Angels money line. And lo and behold, I mean, Blake Snell looked great again. I think he took a no-hitter into the seventh inning of that game. And the problem was for the Padres was that their offense didn't show up. And at the end of the day, Blake Snell, I believe, lost the no-hitter in the seventh inning or the eighth inning. And then I think the Angels put up 2 in the later innings, and they had tacked on 1 more in the ninth, I believe. And they won the game. I think it was like around plus 280 were the Angels, and that one kind of went up in flames. But you got what you needed out of Blake Snell, at least for the Padres, and unfortunately the bats didn't show up. So I guess that's how just how it goes sometimes. But I'll fully blame the Slack channel for the L there for Scott. So apologies to Scott on his lock.
Yeah, that was one of the most frustrating types of loss you can get in baseball, where you handicap one pitcher really well, and then the bats don't show up on the other side. We've had half a dozen of those this season, which is absolutely unavoidable if you're handicapping baseball games. It's just part of the territory. So, yeah, that was a little bit unfortunate. So that was a three. Your lock, Moonaf. So my lock was voided. Scott's lock went down. You swore at me quite a lot after this. I've just remembered this. It made me laugh.
Yeah, I had the Mets money line on Monday. I forgot who even was pitching this game. It seems like it's so long ago. But long story short, the Mets got into the ninth inning. They were up 3-2. I think they were really going back and forth in this game, and the Mets finally took the lead, headed into the bottom of the ninth. And before they went to the commercial break, before they started the bottom of the ninth, I saw Edwin Diaz warming up, and I was like, oh God, this is not going to end well for me. And lo and behold, he gives up two runs in the bottom of the ninth to the Nationals, and they lose 4-3. And I immediately message you, and that's
it was just a string of swear words.
Yeah. And I was like, oh my God, because the thing that killed it the most is that your pick against the Dogs, your pick and dog, your dog and Scott's dog got across the line, and then mine was the only one left for the day. Would have been nice to get off to a 3-0 start, but Edwin Diaz had to ruin the day. But I guess I bit the bullet this week with the bullpen meltdown.
Yeah, it was unfortunately the Mets left themselves in that position of having no room for error, really. That they've backed themselves against the wall with the way they've scuffled along all year. And then they'd actually, we'd said last week that they'd put together four or five kind of ugly wins, I'd say. I wasn't really sure how they'd even been winning games. They were all low-scoring games. They were all one-run games. And it was only a matter of time before they fell on the wrong side of at least one of them. Unfortunately, like you say, you were the one who got it. And since then, I think they've lost at least one or two very, very similarly as well.
They lost it
last night. They were 2-0 up. Yeah, and then just gave up a run in the seventh, a run in the eighth, and a run in the ninth and lose. But that's the position they put themselves in, unfortunately, by not being great. So, it was unfortunate because, the triple lock on one night would have been good. We got 26 of the 27 innings over the line. Then inning number 27 was the one that cocked it up for us. But dogs-wise, though, I took the Rangers on the money line against the Angels again. And for the second time in 2 weeks, it was Scotty the first time. We took AJ Alexi, and AJ Alexi was great and got us the win at a nice price, I think, for the Rangers. I enjoyed this one. It was a four to nothing. It was exactly how you wanted your pick to go. Yep. The pitcher you pick does well and you get the run support. Just the opposite, really, of what Scott did with Blake Snell. And AJ Alexi, I think it'll probably be worth a watch next time out, because the Rangers aren't going to be made favorites for many games.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think this was the guy that Scott was on, I think, last week, and then you pinpointed him this week and pitched real well. This line, if you bet this game, I hope you got it in early, because this line was starting to move towards the other way, meaning that the odds were starting to decrease for AJ Alexi. I saw him anywhere from, I believe it was like plus 138 up to plus 142.
Yeah.
And I think by the time it was game time, he was down to around plus 118 and at plus 115 at some books. So that was a great call by you, and glad that, you know, that was almost a rocking chair sweat for you win.
Yeah, absolutely. Scott's dog was Monday night, the Blue Jays on the money line against the Yankees. Well, the Blue Jays have just completed a sweep of the Yankees. Yep. Which we're going to talk about in a little while. So Scott did well. And then you went back to the same well on Wednesday, Muna.
Yeah, Alek Manoah. I'm pretty sure that, you know, this is a guy that we've been backing all season long and talking about at volumes. And I'm pretty sure I knew that this guy was going to be an underdog just because he was going into Yankee Stadium No matter who he pitched, I think he was facing, I believe it was Lewis Gill that night. But regardless, he was around a plus 114, plus 107 underdog in this game, and it just didn't make sense. And we knew the books weren't going to make the Yankees an underdog in their own stadium, regardless of who was pitching for the Blue Jays. So, like I mentioned, Mano was great that night. The offense put up six runs for him. And if you bet on Blue Jays in all four games against the Yankees, you came out and made a lot of money because they were not great this week. Sorry, against the Blue Jays. So I'm glad to get that one across the board. Scott and I went back to back Blue Jay money line. So glad we got that across the board and had a profitable week.
Yeah, absolutely. Doing okay. I'm a lot better this week. The last couple of weeks, actually. We'll stay on the Blue Jays then, Moonaf. We've just mentioned the swept the Yanks. So 8 in a row for Toronto. 10 of 12, I think they've won.
Yeah.
This is the first time, Moonaf, that a team has swept a four-game series at Yankee Stadium without falling behind since 1923.
Wow.
Which is pretty impressive. Yeah, 98 years, nearly a century of history. Mm-hmm. So, the Blue Jays led for the entirety of that series. Berrios was great. 109 pitches last night for him. And people raised their eyebrows when they picked him up at the trade deadline because Toronto weren't a playoff team, or at that time, weren't a playoff team.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, behind Berrios, they're winning games, and they're now half a game back of that wildcard spot.
Yeah, this was, we had talked about this on our last show, that this was going to be a big series for the Blue Jays, and I really was not expecting them to win this series. I was not expecting them to, let alone win all four games going into Yankee Stadium, like you just mentioned, and not even trailing. I mean, I think this was a team that you had talked about to look out for when we were talking about the second half of the season.
I did. And then they immediately dropped off.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, they're back again. But like we say, that's baseball, I suppose.
Yeah, and you have those cold streaks and hot streaks in the in baseball. I think Blue Jays are winning games at the right time right now with about, 22 games left here in the regular season for them to get hot and put themselves into contention for a wild card spot. I think that's truly remarkable. And like we mentioned, going into Yankee Stadium, winning all four games there. I kind of want to talk about this Blue Jays rotation because – we talked about that. This is one of the teams that really, if they get a great rotation going, at least for this season and even next season, this is going to be a team that's going to be on the rise in this AL East division, which is already so competitive, right? With the Red Sox and the Yankees. Now you're talking about the Blue Jays, and people always forget about the Rays, but the Rays are now running away with the division. They pretty much have it locked up. But now that you've added Jose Berríos, if they're able to get him to a long-term deal, we've talked about Alek Manoah, who's been really good. Robbie Ray, your guy, has been phenomenal all season long. Ryu has kind of been that guy that they were hoping would be that ace of the team, but he just hasn't panned out this season. Those are four pretty great pitchers to have on your rotation for the Blue Jays, and you parlay that with the batting lineup that they have led by Vladimir Guerrero Jr., Marcus Semien, George Springer, he's clearly not healthy right now, but when he is, he can be a great bat for you. Some of the other guys, Bo Bichette, these guys that they have in their lineup, this is an exciting team to kind of root for and for us to think about going into next season. So I really like the way that they kind of constructed this team on both sides of the baseball, whether it's been their batting lineup and their pitching rotation.
Yeah, really, really like the Blue Jays. I think it has been said earlier in the season that this lineup could be the same for sort of years to come, particularly the middle part. You've got Vlad, who's 22 years old, Bo Bichette, who's been outstanding at 23. Teoscar Hernandez, I think, hits lefties better than just about anyone in the league.
Yeah.
Someone who's been on an absolute heater is the catcher, Alejandro Kirk. He's only 22 years old as well. He's a little fat bloke. He's not much to look at, Moonaf, but he DHs a little bit for them as well. If Danny Jansen catches, Alejandro Kirk DHs. And he's been dinger after dinger after dinger. That fifth starter you d- the story you didn't mention there, Stephen Matz.
Yeah.
And Stephen Matz isn't a SP5, I don't think. He's probably been an SP3 on the books of the Mets for a couple of seasons. He reminds me a little bit of Robbie Ray, just left-handed and occasionally a little bit wild and occasionally can throw in a stinker. And obviously, Robbie Ray's figured it out. Matz has had a bit of a donut of a season. He started really well, dropped off, and now he's finishing strong again. Yeah, and the Blue Jays, I think, will be certainly on our radars when we come to record preseason stuff. I mean, we say the one game back in the wild card, they're still fourth in the division, which is quite hard to fathom.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Because Boston, the Yankees and Toronto are all covered by a game and a half, all way behind Tampa. But yeah, I do enjoy watching Toronto. They're a fun team to hit. A fun team to watch. On the back of that, though, Moon, where does this leave the Yankees? Because obviously, we panned them in April. Then all of a sudden, we sort of waited for them to get hot. And then, bang, it happened. And they won however many in a row, 13 or whatever it was in a row.
Yeah.
And then they've gone exactly the other way. I think, Moonaf, they're just a middling team, but they're not doing it in middling ways. They'll win 30 and lose 25, but they're not doing it win one, lose one, win one, lose one. They're just putting streaks together one way or the other.
Yeah, and I think you hit the nail on the head that they're just kind of putting streaks together, right? They're not being that consistent team where they're maybe winning 2 out of 3 games in a series. Just getting the series win, I think that's more important right now for any teams that are in contention for either it's a division race, which is only 1 or 2 that are left to kind of figure out. And then obviously the bigger picture is the wild card positioning for both of the leagues, the National League and the American League. So for the Yankees, I mean, you know, like you just mentioned that they won the, you know, 11, 12, 13 games in a row. Now they've lost, you know, 4 in a row for sure against the Blue Jays. And if you take a look, they have 22 games left on the season. 9 of those are against the Rays, the Red Sox, and the Blue Jays. So, Again, it's kind of tough sledding. They have 3 games against the Mets this weekend, which is not going to be an easy task for them either because it is the Mets. I mean, as much as bad as they've been, I think this is going to be a big series, and we'll talk about series later. But for the Yankees, they just got to find that consistency. You know, you don't have to go out and win 11, 12, 13 games in a row and then go out and lose as many games as you do, because then that's not going to mean anything for you at that point. So just getting series wins, and now you're really getting down to the separation that you want to create between the other teams that are kind of chasing your position down. With 22 games left, now is the time to start playing your best baseball if you want to make the playoffs. And the Blue Jays are doing that right now. The Mariners, again, are another team that are playing well. But as far as the Yankees, they got to find that consistency because these bats go hot and cold at the same time. And I think when we had Dave on the show is that they can hit, but they're still striking out a lot. And the guy that they acquired, I believe, Joey Gallo
just stopped. Yeah. Sometimes you might as well not take a bat up there with him.
Yeah, they
just walk up and walk back.
Yeah, they benched him, I believe it was the other night, because he has just been so bad for this team. Rizzo, another guy that they acquired at the trade deadline, he was off to a hot start. I think he had a home run the other night. But other than that, he's kind of cooled off himself. So when you have guys like that are between Gallo, Stanton, and Judge, who are going to get up to either hit it out of the ballpark or strike out, that's not going to bode well. You need guys that are going to hit for average, and I think that's what their issue is right now.
I remember the Con Sig saying that the New York Yankees had a bigger O-line than the New York Jets when he was on the show. That was a great line. And yeah, he's just about right. They're all absolute monsters. But if they don't hit the ball, they could end up looking a little bit silly. A little bit of injury news. We haven't been doing much injury stuff just because a lot of it's been largely irrelevant for the teams coming into the season. But as the Dodgers come down this stretch run, Clayton Kershaw made a rehab start, I think in Albuquerque maybe. Because they played that series last week. Giants came out on top. Still neck and neck. Giants have got that little lead. They had a good comeback win the other night against the Rockies, which Scott Reichel of this parish backed live at plus 390. He backed the Rockies bullpen to blow up in the 9th, which is exactly what they did. But if you go to the roster resource page on Fangraphs, the Dodgers and the Giants were both running on 3 starting pitchers. Dodgers have gone, I think, back-to-back bullpen days against the cards and making a real struggle out of everything. So it's really tough sledding through September for a lot of these teams.
Yeah.
But yeah, Kershaw coming back would make a difference.
Yeah, this is I think you hit the nail on the head that both the Giants and the Dodgers are kind of struggling right now. And Dodgers really dropped the ball this weekend again, or this week against the Cardinals. I believe they lost two out of the three games. The Giants took care of business against the Rockies going into Coors Field. So now they're out to only a 2.5 game lead. But that 2.5 game lead is going to seem monumental for the Dodgers that are trying to chase them down. And again, this week is going to be very, very important for the Dodgers this weekend, because they have, between the Giants and the Dodgers, they have a combined 16 games left against the Padres. Now, if Padres want to play spoiler, yeah, this is the opportunity for them to do it. For the Giants, it's crazy. 10 of their 22 games left are going to be against the Padres. So, for the Dodgers, I think it's about them getting healthy. Hopefully they can get Kershaw back. And I think, Cody Bellinger was a guy we haven't talked about for the Dodgers that has just been so bad this season. He's batting below 200 for them. This is a guy that was an MVP not too long ago, right? And for him to struggle like this, I think it's crazy. But they have more than enough to compensate. Trey Turner, I mean, what can you say about this guy? This guy is just so, so good. And if they're able to keep him around in LA with the Dodgers, him and Mookie Betts, I said this before, him and Mookie Betts at the 1-2 spot for the Dodgers, that's going to set them up real, real well for the rest of the season, for a very long time in LA. So, it's about getting healthy right now for some of these guys. I think one more injury that we didn't even mention for the Yankees is that Jameson Taillon is going to be, I think he's gone for the rest of the season. I believe I saw a note where he might have to opt for Tommy John surgery. So that's a big loss for the Yankees, when a guy that was pitching pretty well for them in the second half of the season.
Yeah, the Giants' magic number is down to 6 now. We're starting to see some small numbers for them to make the playoffs. Actually seen a little bit more of the Giants this week than I normally do, because they've been in a more UK-friendly time zone. And I'm starting to root for them, I've had no strong feels either way. But this happened a little bit when Leicester City won the EPL at 5,000-1. And when it got to April, sort of March, April time, everyone started sort of leaning towards Leicester and said, yeah, come on, do it for the little man. And this is, I've just started to get that feeling about the Giants, because you can't help but like them and like what they've done whenever you watch them.
Yeah, 100%. They've
been great. Trey Turner, he seems to be the forgotten man in that blockbuster deal. I listened to a bit of the Dodgers call the other night, and one of the wags commentating said that Max Scherzer was the throw-in in the Trey Turner deal rather than the other way around.
Just I was just going to mention that.
How can you have Trey Turner as sort of the throw-in guy in a deal like that? It's absolutely unbelievable, because he's been hitting out of his socks. Like, absolutely. Every time he goes up to the plate, you expect him to kind of minimum double. That's just what you expect him to do.
Yeah.
The Padres, though, however, in this wild card race, all of a sudden Cincinnati are hanging around.
Yeah.
I don't know where they've been. It's like they've sort of been hiding behind a hedge and they've just joined in. They're sitting one game back in the wild card race. So the Padres don't have an easy rest of season. There's the strength of schedule that you just mentioned.
It's very, very tough.
So, yeah, Cincinnati, just one game back of San Diego. So there might be some little betting opportunities for Cincinnati if you can fancy them to win maybe a wild card game and then get a series somewhere.
Yeah, Cincinnati has 21 games left in the season. 9 of those are against the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Yeah.
And 4 against the Nationals. So those are 13 games right there where they can, make some noise. You take a look at the Padres schedule. They don't have an easy opponent left in their 23 games. They have 16 of their 23 games are either against the Giants or the Dodgers. Then after the fact, they have 4 against the Atlanta Braves and then 3 against the Cardinals. So they have by far the toughest schedule remaining in the entire MLB. No easy opponents. I mean, between the 4 teams that I just mentioned, those are not going to be cakewalks for them. So very, very difficult schedule for them. Cardinals are in that same boat as we talked about, the NL wild card, 7 against the Brewers, 3 against the Padres, 3 against the Reds. So if you're able to find it, I think, kind of tying in the betting part of it is that if you're able to find some make or miss playoffs, I think if you find a pretty decent price for the Cincinnati Reds. I think this might be the opportunity for you to take the Cincinnati Reds because they do have the second easiest schedule remaining. And the Philadelphia Phillies, I mean, Dave told us about this team. They by far have the easiest schedule remaining. Three games left against the Braves, which is their toughest opponent. But after that, Malcolm, three against the Orioles, four against the Pirates, three against the Marlins, three against the Rockies, and three against the Cubs. So those are probably the worst teams.
You couldn't remaining. Pick apart from the D-backs. If you were listing the worst teams in baseball, the only one you missed out with the D-backs.
Yeah, and we've talked about D-backs. Like you, this is a team that you talked about that they're not laying down right now either. I mean, they're going to maybe get a game or two from you in a series, but for the Phillies, the opportunity is right there in front of them. So just so much going on that you kind of want to keep track of this on the daily with opportunities to make money or make or miss playoffs type of things for some of these teams.
If you want to make any money on the Phillies or the Reds with boosted odds, WynnBET is now live in Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia, bringing the excitement of Wynn Las Vegas to online sports betting and casino play. Exclusive rewards are right at your fingertips. Get in with your favorite teams, players, and sports. NFL, NBA, MLB, NHL, golf, MMA, WNBA, college football, and anything else you can think of. Great promos, odds, and payouts happening right now at WynnBET. Download the app or visit wynnbet.com. Download, bet, and win. We're also brought to you by PropSwap, America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. Check out the new PropSwap.com, which is packed with features like filtering tickets based on value to find the best odds, a loyalty rewards program that turns sales into extra cash. Use the promo code SGP on your first deposit. PropSwap will match it up to $500. If you love sports betting, you need to be using PropSwap. Thousands of buyers across the country are shopping for tickets on PropSwap every day. Get started by going to PropSwap.com or download the PropSwap app. PropSwap is where America buys and sells sports bets. I picked up some fluff from the MLB website today, Muna. Just a couple of little numbers. We like a numbers game. We were just talking about the Padres, so this all segues together nicely. Austin Adams, relief pitcher for San Diego. He's possibly on course for a record, Muna, and hit by pitches. He's on 20 hit by pitches. I think the record's 23. However, anyone who's had more than 20, I think they've done it in minimum 173 innings of work. So, you see where this is going. Austin Adams has managed to hit 20 batters in 42 innings of work. I mean, that's a world record times five. He's 500% ahead of anyone else who's ever plunked a man. The bloke's on fire.
He's averaging about what, one hit per about per inning. So,
if he hasn't hit the first five men in front of you, Muna, look out. That's what I'm saying.
You're going to get plucked by this guy.
He's coming for you.
That's crazy.
So yeah, we'll keep an eye on how Austin Adams goes the next time. He's actually, to coin a phrase, he's kind of been effectively wild. And they keep putting him in there because he's been doing okay. But yeah, he will hit two or three on the way. to getting himself out of a jam. So the other thing I picked up from that little piece that they ran was the Phillies, again, record setting, the ninth most all-time blown saves, 30. Now, we mentioned a couple of weeks ago that the Giants had, I think, 42 saves, and that was maybe about 10 days ago, so they might have a few more in the hutch by now. But 30 blown saves is absolutely staggering, Munaf. Some of your bets could be, you could have cashed them out already.
Yeah, imagine if you just cut this number in half. Philly's going to pretty much lock up this division, right? And we would only have one division left to talk about here. But thank you for the Phillies for keeping it interesting. So I think it's going to be a battle between them and the Braves here down the stretch because I think the Mets are pretty much just out of it. They have a very tough schedule remaining also, so... I think this weekend series between the Yankees and the Mets is going to tell it all which way these teams are going to go. But yeah, 30 blown saves. I mean, you would think that at a trade deadline that your GM would go out and get you a closer that's able to shut the door for you. But I guess they don't want to win games. I don't know what the deal is. 30 blown saves, that's pretty mind-boggling.
It certainly is, because they've tried absolutely everybody. I mean, yeah, there's certainly closers kicking around on the bad teams as well that would have moved relievers on. Yeah. So, Moonaf, the underdogs, the streak, the September bet, which the Cotton Sig turned us on to, we talked about it on September the 1st, where we would have nominally won $506 to a level $100 bet. And then actually, when we spoke about it, we'd had three losing days, which therefore made me sound really intelligent and offer a very valid theory as to why it wasn't working. And since then, it's then gotten profit 5 days in a row, Moonaf, obviously. So yeah, give us the numbers, man. It's impressive.
It is. It's crazy how some of these big, and like we talked about last week, that you only need some of these like one or two big underdogs. Like we talked about the Angels when they were playing the Padres the other night. I think the Orioles are another example this week, but I think we left it off on, let's say, September 4th. We had said that there had been 3 days in a row that the underdogs were not cashing. But since September 5th, and I'll kind of just run down the numbers here. If you put a $100 bet on every single underdog, September 5th, and these are going to be based off of the closing numbers for win bet. So you would have been up $421 on September 5th. $270 on September 6th. September 7th, you would have been up $377. September 8th, $651. And then September 9th, yesterday, you would have been up $385. So that I should have done the math for over the past 5 days. It almost
seems like $2,400.
Yeah, so blindly, like Dave had mentioned, if you just blindly played these bets in the morning, checked your account the next morning, you would have been in a very, very happy mood this week as far as just betting MLB underdogs. And right now, we're going to keep track of it every day, and we'll get you an update every time we record. But year to month, since September 1st, if you bet the underdog every single day, every single game, you would have been up $1,185. So we're going to keep this going for sure, Malcolm. But it's staggering to think that this week you would have been up $2,400 without you having to put in any work.
It's absolutely ridiculous. Obviously, I haven't been doing it as well. I think that's one of the key factors in this. Yep. I said I was going to get around to it and then just didn't because things are going on. We said that what a great way of building up a little bankroll for NFL Sunday or to put some season-long props on and stuff. And if you've done it to a 10, like you call your pizza bet, $5, you're sitting on $120, $10 for $240. Absolutely outstanding stuff. So hopefully, I mean, even if it just chugs along now, we're kind of slightly plus odds. I mean, my tally side picks are a little bit under 50%, but the my return on investment is over the $10 mark. Because again, picking some of these fancier priced ones. So yeah, still looking for your spots, but yeah, just pick them blindly, man. Absolutely brilliant stuff.
Yep.
Some series for this week then, Moonaf. We've already alluded to one or two. The Dodgers, the Giants, and the Padres all battling it out again with each other. And then we've got a Subway Series as well, which both teams really could do with sweeping.
Yeah, this is a big series. We're kind of alluding it to it earlier that it almost seems like both the Yankees and the Mets are kind of in the same position in their respective leagues, both chasing down wild card spots. So I think whichever team kind of comes out of this, whether they win two out of the three or even get a sweep, they're going to set themselves up nicely over the final 18 to 19 games here. But what can we say? I think it's going to be a more exciting series. Obviously, you know, you have the Subway Series between the Yankees and the Mets. Both the teams have kind of been on a stinker here. The Yankees coming off a home sweep by the Blue Jays, the Mets losing a couple games to the Marlins by their closer, Edwin Diaz. So, this is going to be a fun series to just keep your eye on. I know a lot of people eyeballs are going to be glued to football this weekend. But definitely keep your eye out for this series. A big, big series for both of these teams.
Yeah. Next up, NL Wild Card. Mm-hmm. Talked about Cincinnati, and they get the Cards. Now, the Cards are only two games behind Cincinnati, I think.
Yep.
So they've got a three-game series coming up this weekend. So that could be all change as well. Do you have a lean either way? St. Louis just don't really do it for me. They just seem a little bit milky.
Yeah, I think that it kind of come really for these two teams. It's really going to come down to the pitching, right? And it's tough because there's not really a guy. I think that if the Cardinals still had Jack Flaherty on their rotation, I mean, he went back to the IL a couple of weeks back when he got back. I think the conversation would be different because that just kind of adds more depth to your rotation, does for the Cardinals. But for the Reds, they have, like we mentioned earlier, that if they can find a way to win this series against the Cardinals, that their schedule sets up really nicely for them as they kind of head down to the wire, them and the Philadelphia Phillies. So I don't really have a lean either way. I mean, even if one of these teams do get into the playoffs, I don't think that they'll be able to make much noise against either the Giants and Dodgers, whichever team they face, the Brewers. It'll just be tough sledding because I just don't believe in their pitching.
Yeah, you're right. The pitching's a struggle. I mean, the man you're most likely to get a win out of for the Cardinals is Adam Wainwright.
Yeah.
Talking about a 40-year-old guy. Yeah.
It's crazy.
Jake Woodford's come in. Rookie done okay, but then it's Lester, Mikolas, Happ. It's not very inspiring. Yeah. And the other thing that St. Louis has struggled with is the bullpen. Now, between April and probably mid-August, I was all on the Alex Reyes train, and he was giving me a good run for my money in terms of saves. I had a little 50-1 for him to be the top closer. And he was sort of second. He was quite a little way behind Melanson from the Padres. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But he was up there, he was challenging. And then all of a sudden, he's absolutely fallen off a cliff. He blew several saves. And now he's way back down the pecking order. He's in middle relief. I think he pitched the fifth inning last night in that game against the Dodgers. So, they've struggled a little bit. And like you say, Jack Flaherty, Kim, the pitcher that I really like, KK, the Korean lad, even Wade LeBlanc. I mean, they've got a really old pitching staff, actually.
Yeah.
The Cardinals don't really do it for me. And I think the Reds would love to get away from them this weekend, put that to bed a little while. The Padres-Dodgers move off, we've talked about it a couple of times. But you reckon the Dodgers are vulnerable and the Padres could really open the door for the Giants this weekend.
Yeah, I think this is a huge year for the Dodgers because I think the Padres, we can say that they have been playing better than they were after the trade deadline. Obviously, Tatis being back, Blake Snell looking like he's turned it around here a little bit. But I think that if the offense is able to get going for the Padres, and like I said, the Dodgers are dealing with some injuries, and you still have – I think that the downfall this weekend will be that the Dodgers or the Padres are going to face some of the best pitchers of the Dodgers. And I should have pulled this up on who they're going to face, but let me see if I can do that here real quick. I think that Max Scherzer should be going this weekend. Walker Buehler is another guy. Julio Urias, I think, goes tonight against Joe Musgrove. I think that's going to be a fun matchup. Tomorrow it is Chris Paddock versus Walker Buehler. And then Sunday it's Blake Snell versus Max Scherzer. So, three of the best pitchers you're facing for the Dodgers or the Padres. So, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, it's tough when you're going up against those three pitchers, right? Because just they've been so good all season long. And if the Padres, I mean, with Chris Paddock going up against Walker Buehler, I'm just going to be interested to see what that line kind of comes out at, because Chris Paddock has been a guy that we've been fading all season long. But who knows? I mean, if they're able to steal a game or two and the bats aren't able to show up for the Dodgers like they did in the Cardinals series, even if they get one game from the Dodgers, I think that's going to maybe bode well for the Giants, because the Giants have the Cubs this weekend. So they should probably get all three games from the Cubs this weekend, should the Giants.
Yeah, the Padres have just been so disappointing.
It has
a
been.
Real letdown. Like, because I mean, even if they could have taken off the Dodgers and the Giants would have made that a real fun three-horse race in there.
Yeah, they were one of the most hyped teams coming into the season because they had made all sorts of moves. You know, getting Blake Snell, getting Yu Darvish, and everybody was just so excited about this team, but they just haven't been able to perform this season. Hopefully they make some improvements over the off season, and who knows, they may be back again next season.
Yeah, it just hasn't quite come together for them. Turn your picks into real cash prizes with Prize Picks. It's fast, it's easy. It all starts with Prize Picks. Simply pick 2 to 5 players, decide if they'll go over or under their start projection. The more players you pick, the more you can win, up to 10 times your money. Prize Picks is the only way to play. Use promo code SGP to receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. That's prizepicks.com, promo code SGP. Okay, Munaf, we went 6-0. We went 3-2 with all the three W's being our dogs. So two solid weeks of profit.
Yep.
Where are we going to go this week, Munaf? You can hit lead off. You're in the city that's supposed to be really lucky for you. If you can't get these picks right, Munaf, this is going to be a portent of your weekend. You give me two, give me two winning picks here. And you're going to go home a wealthy man. So right. What you got?
I'll be the trade turner and lead it off. Let's go Saturday. Just a team that we just talked about, the Giants versus the Cubs. I'm going to take the Giants run line here, -1.5 versus the Cubs. The money line is going to be juiced probably north of 200. So I think you may be able to get a lower south of a 200 favorite price on the Giants here. It'll be Kevin Gausman versus Zach Davies on the mound. Kevin Gausman has been solid all season long, a guy that we've talked about, especially on the road this season. 7-2 with a 1.95 ERA this season. He faced the Cubs once this season. He pitched 7 innings, allowed only 2 hits, and did not give up any runs to the Cubs. Giants are 3-1 against the Cubs this season. Not a big sample, obviously, because they're not in their division, but the Cubs, they pretty much gave it up at the trade deadline, like we saw with the guys that they traded away. And the Giants, I mean, they just beat up on the bad teams like they did against the Rockies this past week. Meanwhile, for the Cubs, like I mentioned, Zach Davies is on the mound, 6-10 with a 5.16 ERA with a 1.52 whip. At home this season, he is 4-6 with a 5.58 ERA. So this might be just batting practice for the Giants here. I think they should take care of business. He has one start, does Zach Davies, against the Giants this season. It was not pretty. He went 4 1/3 of an inning, 8 hits allowed, 4 earned runs, and the Giants were batting 400 against him in that game. So definitely don't recommend the money line here. It'll be juiced probably north of 200, but I do like the run line. I will be playing this at -1.5, -2.5, and also probably be taking the Giants team total on this game. But for our show purposes, I will be taking run line Giants Saturday, Kevin Gausman versus the Cubs and Zach Davies on the mound. Saturday for my dog, again, it'll be the Tigers first 5 money line versus the Tampa Bay Rays. Luis Patino versus Casey Mize. Mize and Scark Skubal have been the two guys that have probably been the darlings of our podcast all season long. And I'm going to go back to the well with Casey Mize. I think this is more of a fade of the Rays starting pitcher for me. He is 1-1 on the road with a 6.92 ERA, 26 innings pitched, 28 hits allowed, 20 earned runs over that span on the road. And over his last 6 starts, he's allowed at least 2 runs in 5 of the 6 games in the first 5 innings. So if the Tigers are able to get to him early, I think Mize should be able to pitch well enough against the Rays to get this across the board in 5 innings, not the full game. So meanwhile, like I said, Casey Mize, he has pretty good numbers at home. Just the wins haven't translated for him. 3-4, but he has a 3.71 ERA. He's been in good form over his last 3 starts, 14 innings pitch, 8 hits allowed, and only 3 runs given up in that span. So I will take the Tigers first 5 money line as my dog of the weekend. So just to recap, that is going to be the Giants run line on Saturday. And then my dog is Saturday also Tigers first 5 innings money line versus the Rays.
Excellent, Luna. Yeah, I like the Gausman pick, but you do have to find another angle in because he will be talking. So the run line is exactly the right thing to do. And as much as I like Luis Patino, Detroit, I feel like have been one of the greatest value teams all season.
Yeah.
Because even though they were expected to be relatively poor, they haven't been. They've been okay, but they've always been feisty. They've always been thereabouts. And they're always a good value price. Behind the likes of, say, Myers and Scoobal, and even Matthew Boyd can throw in the odd game.
Yeah.
And I think there's Matt Manning as well. So they've got plenty of names who give you a chance. So, yeah, good with both of those, Moonaf. My lock on Saturday is fairly route one. It's Charlie Morton and the Braves against Trevor Rogers of the Marlins. I think the presence of Trevor Rogers will make this a viable price. It'll be relatively chalky, maybe, I don't know, maybe minus 160-ish. But Rogers has been pitching really well for Miami. So I don't think they will be prohibitively short the Braves. Rogers is 7-6 with a 2.52 ERA. Really good stuff from him. He missed August through injury. Had one start since he came back. He did okay, but he only went 4.1 innings, gave up 6 hits and 2 walks. So gave up 8 runners in those four innings that he pitched. So I'm just banking on him being slightly rusty from that return. Charlie Morton has been a sneaky Cy Young contender, really. The Braves, obviously still leading the division. The Braves are going to be trying. They're going to be going at full tilt. Morton's 13-5 with a 3.47 ERA. But over his last 6 starts, he's been pitching to a 2.78 ERA. So I think this will be a good game. I think it'll be a close game. But I think the Braves will have enough to win it. Probably go scoring something like maybe 4-2, 5-3. So I'll take Charlie Morton there. My dog is going to be on Sunday night, and it's Pittsburgh and Bryce Wilson against Washington and Paolo Espino. Bryce Wilson pitched well for the Braves last season. I think he may have even pitched a playoff game, started a playoff game himself, and Ian Anderson, the two rookies, came up. Fairly similar pitchers. And Ian Anderson's still going well for the Braves' rotation. But Bryce Wilson was traded at the deadline. Since being traded, he's 0-3, but he's playing for Pittsburgh. What do you expect? But he's got a 4.35 ERA. He's been fairly consistent, you know, kind of what you're going to get here. He's going to go 5 or 6 innings. He's never been lit up. He's never had a real shellacking. He did have a couple of great starts in May when he was on the Braves. So something around what he's been doing, maybe with a little bit of upside that we have seen already this season. His whip's only been 1.19. So he's not getting into jams. So I think you know what you're getting from Bryce Wilson. So hopefully, on the flip side of that, is that Pittsburgh can do some damage to Paolo Espino. Now, he's 4-4 with a 4.35 ERA. But his ERA, to me, looks quite lopsided because he pitched in relief from April to June, 20 innings just, and his ERA was 1.74. So that ERA has jumped up to 4.35 since then. But his July ERA is 4.56. His August ERA is 7.46. And he's had 2 starts so far in September, which have come out at a 6.10 ERA. He's on the road. He has an ERA of 5.2 on the road. So I think Bryce Wilson will definitely be competitive, which is pretty much all we want. Washington haven't been hitting great. They're not a great side. And hopefully, Wilson, I think this will be a decent price as well. Maybe 140-ish. So hopefully Wilson can get Pittsburgh over the line there for us, Moonaf.
We're really going down into like the lower tier teams that kind of get these dogs across for us.
They all pay the same though, don't they?
They do. And I think 100% it kind of lines up with how September dogs have been cashing, at least for this week, and hopefully it continues into this weekend. So solid picks again, you know, hopefully I think that, you know, the one handicap that all you need to say for the Braves pick was that they know that they have to win games if they're going to lock up this division. And, you know, they've been doing that. Right. And I think that going up against the Marlins, I think this is an opportunity for them that they should be able to win games here. You know, there's not much you can say, right? Charlie Morton has been a great pickup for them. I did see that they signed him to an extension for next season. So he'll be back with the Braves. Love that pick. And then again, our dogs, I think at this point, whatever dog we pick, it might just cash because that's just been the story of the week so far. But, you know, Pirates are a frisky bunch, right? And I think the numbers that you kind of alluded to with the Nationals starting pitcher, again, because the Pirates are one of the worst teams, if not the worst team in the entire MLB, they're going to be an underdog regardless in any game for the rest of the season. So hopefully these get across for us this weekend. And then I know Scott has two picks for us as well.
Hey guys, Scott Reichel back again with your lock and dog for the weekend. Quickly recapping how we did over the week. We ended up splitting, but we did win the dog, so we made 0.25 units, but we'll be looking for a sweep over the weekend. Starting with the lock, looking on Saturday's card at the Mariners money line, taking on the Diamondbacks. Mariners have won 6 of their last 8 games. Meanwhile, the Diamondbacks have lost 10 of their last 11. Diamondbacks also atrocious on the road this season. They've lost 52 of their first 69 road games this season. And Flexen is pitching for Seattle last month, 31 1/3 innings pitched, 2.59 ERA. I think he'll pitch well, and I think Seattle should win this game pretty easily. Now, looking at the dog, sticking with Saturday's card, looking at the Mets money line at home against the Yankees. Yankees have fallen apart, losing 10 of their last 12 games. Meanwhile, the Mets have won 8 of their last 11. Taijuan Walker is pitching for the Mets at home this season. He's been very good, 72 2/3 innings pitched, 3.22 ERA. And Corey Kluber is on the mound for the Yankees. He's made 2 starts since returning from the IL, and they have not gone well, 7 2/3 innings pitched, 8.22 ERA. I think the Yankees will keep slumping, and the Mets will end up getting the victory here with a small underdog price. But that's your lock and dog for the weekend. Let it ride.
There you go. Picks from Scott Reichel. Thank you very much, Scott. Pleasure as always. And Moonaf, we've got to the end of this podcast. We kept it a little bit briefer than usual, obviously because it's very early in the morning. Yeah, you've got a Vegas to hit, for God's sake. Don't be sitting here talking to me lying in bed 5,000 miles away. What's your plan for the rest of the day?
Yeah, I need to go submit my picks for the Circa contest later on. Just finalizing some NFL betting stuff, man. I'm going to go down to the sports book, look to see if I like any numbers. You know, just really keep it casual for today. Just try to get as much work done, because I know we won't be doing much over college football tomorrow and NFL Sunday. So just kind of take the day, maybe hit some tables later on. But I'll still be grinding here. So hopefully it's a fun weekend with the guys this weekend here in Vegas. Hopefully we're able to cash some bets. Great start yesterday with player props. We did drop a player prop week 1 episode with myself and Dan, so definitely check that out. But other than that, we have baseball, we have college football, EPL is back this weekend, NFL week 1 obviously on Sunday. So sports and more sports, Malcolm.
Yeah, absolutely. Sports, and more sports. I am doing the very English thing of going for beers and a curry with the boys tonight. Friday night, beers and a curry. That's what every man in England does on a Friday night. So, yeah, can't. Hopefully, if I get too hungover, I won't have to watch the Newcastle match tomorrow. I can sleep through it. That's my plan. I'm trying to numb the pain in advance. That's what I'm trying to do. As always, Apple Podcasts, leave ratings and reviews, likes and things. We need some podcast reviews, Moonaf.
Yeah, we do. I'm a little disappointed that we haven't gotten more from our listeners. So hopefully, you know, please, guys, if you haven't, pick up your wife's phone, pick up your son, daughter, cousin, grandma, grandpa, boss. I don't care. Just leave us a review. Hopefully it's a 5-star review. You know, we haven't gotten much, so that's really going to help us. So if you're listening to us, just take the time and please drop us a review on your respective pod players, Apple, Google, wherever you're listening to. So we really, really would appreciate it if you guys can leave us a review and a rating on your respective players. But anything else, Malcolm?
No, absolutely not. I just want to wish you a very fun weekend and a profitable weekend, Moonaf.
Thank you, sir.
Stay steady. Don't go too crazy.
I'll try not to.
Cheers, everyone. Enjoy your NFL Sunday. And obviously keep one eye on the baseball as well, because there's plenty of business in there. Just go straight. The minute you stop listening to this, go and get those level $10 stakes on the underdogs. And then you'll have a few quid to bet with on Sunday night. So enjoy your weekend, everyone. Enjoy Ronaldo. Enjoy Vegas. Enjoy the NFL. Enjoy the MLB. We'll be back next week. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you down the road. Cheers.